Hi there, and welcome to the first week of the Busy Woman Stress Makeover Program. I'm Sarah Heusler, and I'm really excited to have here today one of my favourite OTs, Jack Edser of jackedser.com.au. So Jack is an OT with a difference. She's got over 10 years experience as a practitioner and trainer in the field of soft tissue injury management, which is a really individualised and holistic approach to treating injuries and health conditions. And this is how I met Jack when I undertook my soft tissue injury management training way back in 2012 now. And since then, I've actually engaged her as my professional mentor because she has just got such an amazing body of knowledge and understanding of health and well-being and musculoskeletal injuries and functional movement and core strength and all these kinds of things. So welcome, Jack.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Great. It's great to have you. So let's get started. Today we're talking about stress, and the people in this course are really just starting to look at what stress is and how it's a really holistic issue, because I think sometimes we forget that it's really holistic and there's so many factors that influence stress. And it's such a huge epidemic at the moment. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that. Why do you think we're having such a global stress epidemic at the moment?
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, isn't it? And I think particularly for women, there's a real epidemic where we are seeing women that are just coping. And it's sort of this stress presents in many different ways. Mm. And, you know, it can be physical, it can be biochemical, it can be mental. And it's probably hard because it's not something where we go, oh, yeah, you broke your foot. You can have got a broken bone, you know what to do. It's one of those things that kind of creeps up on us and manifests in many different ways. And the thing that I sort of, see is that we kind of did ourselves a little bit of a disservice with this whole feminist movement. And although it created a way for us to be seen in or to have more equal opportunities and to have equal rights, it also made us operate very differently. And we forgot that we are very different to men. We are wired differently. Our brains are wired differently. Our hormones are wired differently. So fundamentally, we need to operate differently. And this sort of creation of this equal world has meant that women are operating as men and women. So we're pushing and pushing and pushing. And while that sees us achieving great results, there's a price to pay, really.
Yeah. I think you raised some really good points there, and I think you're spot on in the fact that we are different. You know, physiologically, we are quite different to men, and I agree that the feminist movement, while it's an amazing movement, and we can have so much more now, we have to really think about what our bodies will allow us to do and to achieve. And I think you were right. You mentioned that a lot of us are really on the edge. So we're pushing and pushing and we're just on the edge of stress. And that's where stress gets difficult to define, because there's not really a medical blood test that we can take to say, hey, you're quite stressed. Boom, you need to go on this medication or need to do this thing. It's a very subjective kind of thing, isn't it? So it's hard to identify.
Yeah, and it's to kind of go, you know what, there's an actual beauty in being a woman and a beauty in being different, and to see that as a real positive and a real positive attribute that then we can actually nurture versus going, oh, we can't, or we're not, or, we're not good enough, or it's not fair, or things like that. And the opposite is to see the real beauty and strength in a man and in the male version of us. We can honour that and kind of go, yep, that's a delineated man's role, and here's a delineated woman's role.
Yeah, it's quite controversial what you're saying, isn't it? Because it challenges a lot of notions of, you know, feminism and all these societal constructs that women have worked so hard to achieve over the last 50 or 60 years, or even, I guess, a couple of hundred years. But it's really important to acknowledge those physiological differences because, you know, women and men have been functioning in kind of different manners and different ways for hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah, and it's not to say that we should go backwards. We shouldn't go back and go, okay, well, we have to be put back in a box and
I'll just get my apron and stand in the kitchen.
It's more to just honour the fact that we are different. And therefore, once you recognise that and respect that, then we can approach our lives in a different way.
Yeah.
We can look at it and go, hey, I actually don't have infinite amounts of energy. I have a finite amount of energy. Therefore, what am I going to do with that? And how am I going to look after my body and my adrenal system and my neurological system in order to make sure I can keep doing those things?
Yeah. So it's not about saying, well, I'm a woman, so I can't do this, because that's not what we're saying at all. It's about saying, well, I can do anything I want, but I need to be a little bit more, you know, I guess discriminating about what we do and when we do and how much we do all at once.
Yes, because in that way, you know, you can be a very, very powerful being, you know.
Absolutely.
And also be powerful without having the consequences that, that you know, putting ourselves under stress can lead to.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, is that, you know, traditionally in the last, I guess, 50 to 100 years, women have tried to, you know, I guess, make it in a man's world by becoming more masculine or taking masculine energies. But I guess there's a real power in being able to say, well, let's use our feminine energy to create our power, because that's the innate part of us, isn't it? And that's what we can really utilize to make a huge difference in our world and the world around us.
Yes, and it's kind of stepping back and going that that's a real positive attribute.
Mm.
It's not a negative attribute, and it's a unique attribute to the female species, that nurturing, intuitive wisdom that comes, and to know how to harness that for our own benefit, as well as that, you know, the benefit of our loved ones and the people around us.
Yeah. So I mentioned before that you have your clinical practice, and I guess you mostly work in the realm of physical injuries and physical conditions, but I know that you see a lot of stress in your clinic. So how does it present? How does the average woman walking into your clinic that might have a physical condition, how is it being impacted by stress?
Yeah, I mean, I guess everyone is different, but what happens is that I guess the when your body's stressed, your sympathetic nervous system will switch on and create that sort of fight or flight mechanism in our body. And the stress can come in because of mental stress. It can be emotional stress. It can be physical stress. So it can come in many different ways. And in that sort of fight or flight mode, different mechanisms are switched on. So we operate a little bit more on adrenaline, and we turn off our self-healing mechanisms. So what I see is that then when people have injuries, firstly, the tension or the stress can manifest or hold in the body. So, like it's just that sort of classic thing that, you know, we might hold our stress in our neck and shoulders. So you sort of feel really tight in your neck and shoulders. Or some of us might hold it in our gut and, you know, you get that gut tension or that, you know, pain in the belly if you're undergoing stress. Or secondly, physical injuries can just arise because, you know, you're fatigued and, you know, say for example, you're fatigued, but you're still running. And so then you might get like a, you know, an overuse type injury. And so it sort of manifests in different ways. But the key, I think, is when I do see people is that we've got to recognize that in order to heal, we need to start to turn on those self-healing mechanisms. So we need to be able to almost get the body into a relaxed state where we've got the parasympathetic nervous system switching on.
Mm-hmm.
It's even as simple as starting to do just abdominal breathing, so you're doing some deep breathing, you know, every day to start to get the body to relax and turn on that parasympathetic nervous system. And then you can deal with the muscular tension or the imbalance in posture or whatever the preventing problem is.
Yeah. Because it works both ways, doesn't it? And that when we are stressed, it can lead to more physical injuries, or it can exacerbate physical injuries. But then having an injury and being stressed can then cause difficulties in healing from those injuries.
Yeah.
So it works both ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So, and sometimes the cause may be something, you know, that's not obvious. So it might be, you know, like a difficult relationship at work that's then causing you to, you know, sit at your desk all day quite tense, and so you're clenching your jaws, then that's what's causing your headaches type thing. So it's not necessarily that you're clenching your jaw that's the issue, it's that difficult relationship at work that's the issue.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's where we often talk about looking at, you know, the causes of problems, not just treating the symptoms, because sometimes the symptom is quite different to the cause. It's quite removed, and sometimes it's difficult for people to make that connection, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, because and when you're in it, it's so hard to be able to sort of look objectively at those things.
Absolutely.
I know myself, I do that, and you sort of, when something's happening, you're sort of like, you're so in it that you can't see what the actual cause is. So it's very helpful to have someone else kind of be the private investigator for you and solve the puzzle.
I love that term. I often say to people that, you know, that's our role as an OT, is a bit of a private investigator to kind of look deeper and help you see the things that you might not be able to see on your own. So
Yeah, totally.
Cool. So let's have a talk a bit then, I guess, about stress management. And I'm doing little air quotes here. So what's your thoughts on, you know, traditional sort of stress management techniques? And what would you do? How would you approach, you know, stress prevention and stress management from a more holistic OT perspective?
Yeah, look, I guess there's a couple prongs to it. And I think one of the things that's often overlooked in our sort of, I guess, traditional Western medical models is to actually take a look at what's going on physiologically and hormonally in the body. Because if we do have a situation where there's, you know, adrenal fatigue, then it's very hard to think clearly. It's very hard to calm your mind. You'll be in that sort of little bit fearful state, a little bit anxiety, brain fog. So it's very hard to sort of go, okay, well, we're going to teach you, you know, strategies to, you know, do abdominal breathing and blah, 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 when fundamentally the hormones or the adrenals are completely shot. So I think that's sort of, for me, if I see someone who is presenting with, either some major life stress or there's been chronic ongoing stress, then we need to look at that underlying adrenal system and hormonal system and see if there's, something going on there.
I was just going to say, because, you know, the hormonal system is really important, isn't it, in this whole concept of stress and being overstressed, and it's something that's not well known by the general population, and even, you know, some of the mainstream medical fraternity haven't really got a great understanding of how that endocrine function can affect things like stress and physical performance.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, and you know, and it goes on to then affect your immune system and your digestive system. Mm. And so then, you know, there's multiple knock-on effects. So I think, yeah, if we can, you know, look at that, and even then implement simple lifestyle things that can help support the adrenal system, then we can start to bring it back into balance.
Yeah, because sometimes we have to look at those really simple things, don't we? And sometimes we look at these simple things and think, oh my gosh, my problem's so big, that simple thing is not going to be enough.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's those simple things that we really don't want to do that are things that are the most important for us to do.
Yeah, because the biggest thing is that there is no magic cure and there's no magic pill.
Yes.
and it's a way of changing lots of little things throughout your day that then add up to have quite a big effect over a whole week or over a whole month or over a whole year.
This is why it's a big commitment on the part of the person who's experienced the stress, isn't it? Because it's not just about give me a pill or a treatment regime or a medication to fix me. If you need to seek help from a health provider to say, okay, how can I help myself? What are all the things I need to do? And it's a real commitment to making a lifestyle change.
Absolutely. And I really like that kind of, sort of looking at, I guess, a very occupational therapy model of practice where you sort of look at all parts of someone's life, including, you know, environment, relationships, work, sexuality, diet, all of those things, and, you know, and what is really important to that person. So, you know, what gives them meaning in their life? What gives them purpose? What lights them up? And I think when we're undergoing stressful event and when our response to life is stressful, there's often something missing in that sort of real fundamental purpose or fundamental occupational role, if you want to bring it back to OT.
Yeah, I guess that's the missing soul part of the body-mind soul approach, isn't it? Is that a sense of alignment and purpose and personal fulfillment? Because that's a very real problem when it comes to stress management, and that's something that's the sort of thing that it's really hard to put your finger on when you kind of know something's not right, but you can't put your finger on what exactly it is. And that takes a lot of, I guess, you know, navel gazing and looking internally to think about, you know, where am I and what am I doing and who am I becoming and how is that impacting on how I feel about myself and how I perceive the world around me.
Yeah. And often I love kind of coming back to the body because it's a very tangible way of being able to, you know, take some control of your life. And so, you know, if there is aches and pains, we'll deal with the aches and pains. If there's digestion issues, then deal with those. If if you're very tired, then, you know, deal with that. So so that then when you're sort of feeling better in your body, the other things become easier to change.
Because the body's a really great communication tool, isn't it? I know you use the term body intelligence, which I just love, and I steal it all the time because I can't think of a better phrase. So sorry about that. But it's a really good tool. And, you know, we often hear, health professionals say to us, listen to your body, but so many of us don't understand what that means. So could you maybe give us a bit of an idea about how to listen to your body?
Yeah, look, I think it's just a matter of taking notice because our body tells us things all the time. But I guess when you're busy, when you're preoccupied with work or kids or family, you know, that it's often easy to just sort of ignore it. It's as simple as, like, if there's a little niggle or if you're feeling you know, a little bit of headache or, you know, different senses in your body that are giving you clues into what's going on. And trust me, they're subtle and little whispers when they first start, and then they get louder and louder and louder and louder until you listen.
That's right. They'll start to yell if you don't listen when they whisper.
Yeah.
And I think the real difficulty around that, Jack, is that, you know, it's being aware that all those little niggles and aches and pains and headaches, it's about being aware that those are messages, because so often in our modern society, we actually just see those as distractions and annoyances that need to be gotten rid of. It's like, well, you've got a headache, so take this pill to get rid of it, or you've got an achy back, so rub this cream to get rid of it, rather than thinking, well, why do I have a headache, or why do I have an achy back?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think even it's good to get into a habit of even just writing it down so you can see if there's a pattern, or take a regular time during the day to check into your body. You know, when you wake up in the morning, how do you actually feel? You know, is there parts of your body that are aching? Do you have a lot of congestion in your throat or in your sinuses? You know, do your bowels move in the morning? Do they not move? Do you, you know, what is actually happening? And the other thing is, I always often get people to take notice of what happens after you eat, because we often are eating things that are causing inflammation in our body or that are irritating us in some way. But because we're sort of just like, you know, get that food in your belly and keep going, we often don't sort of join those dots. So it's almost like you just have to get into a bit of a routine of taking notice, and then the patterns will become more obvious.
Yeah, that's great. So I think that we've covered a few points which might, you know, be a bit surprising to some people if they're not really familiar with this whole concept of holistic health and holistic well-being. Yeah. And so for us talking about how what you eat and how your bowels move affects your stress, it might be something new for people. But this is the sort of thing that we're going to cover off a lot more in the next few weeks of the course, and things like, you know, the importance of movement and posture in our stress and nutrition. Stress in our stress levels are really quite exciting, because it gives us opportunities to understand our bodies better, and it gives us better ways to, you know, build our resilience for stress, so that when all those external factors come at us, we can actually, you know, manage them a bit better. So it's really exciting. Thank you so much for taking part in this little call today.
My pleasure, Sarah. I wish you luck, and I wish everyone who participates in the program to get on top of their stress. And you've got a very, very skilled mentor guiding you through. So I'm sure that everyone will get great success.
Oh, gosh. Thanks, Jack. Well, I've got to give Jack a bit of credit, because she has just been such a great help to me professionally over the last few years. And she has also got some great resources on her website. So if you want to check out, have a look at www.jackedser.com.au. So that's JACEDSER. And there's lots of great blog posts and little information handouts and stuff, which really talks about this whole soft tissue occupational therapy and holistic approach to injury management. And it's really great information. So thanks again, Jack. And I'm sure we'll be hearing from you again in the future.
Great. Thank you.